In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In our Old Testament reading today, we move from the story of Jacob, where we were last week, to the story of his family. He's got a large group of sons. If you remember the story of Jacob, you'll recall that his father Isaac preferred his elder son Esau, and it was only by trickery that Jacob got his father's blessing. What ensued was years of pain and anger and fear. And you'd think that Jacob would have learned from his own experience that favoring one child over the others causes problems. But family behavior does tend to repeat itself, doesn't it? And so Jacob loves the child of his old age, one of his youngest children, Joseph, the best. But Joseph seems like an annoying brat. In the lectionary reading, we've skipped over how aggravating he can be. He continually brags about the fact that he has the ability to interpret dreams. And his father seems to ignore the obnoxious behavior, perhaps because he himself was once equally obnoxious. He even gives Joseph a special coat to wear, an expensive coat. They make a point of saying it has sleeves. Sleeves apparently really add to the luxury of the experience. It's a beautiful coat of 100 different colors. And his brothers, understandably, resent this. Sibling rivalry. As bad or even worse than that between Jacob and his brother Esau. But unlike Esau, they act. When his father sends Joseph out to check on his brothers where they're herding sheep out towards Dothan, they decide to get rid of him. Not kill him, at least not directly. At first, some of them want to kill him, but Reuben says no. He doesn't want Joseph's blood on their hands. So he says, let's just throw him into that deep pit over there. Reuben intends to rescue him later after they put a good scare into him. So they take his coat away from him and toss him into the pit. They smear blood on the coat. They're going to tell their father their wild animal got Joseph. And they ready themselves to return home to Jacob to pass along the coat and the story. But then something happens. A caravan of Ishmaelites appears. Traders. They're passing through on their way to Egypt. And the boy is sold as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. The brothers have agreed that it's not a good thing for a brother to kill another brother, but they have no problem with selling him and getting some cash out of the deal. Perhaps this generation has learned something from the past. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, somehow they've learned that even in the greatest anger, killing is not a good solution. Now, we'll hear more about Joseph in the weeks to come, but at least we hear something that has the possibility of redemption. Killing is forever. But this situation, selling him off and sending him off to Egypt, at least has the possibility of making things right once again. It's not a coincidence that this story of Joseph and his brothers is linked to a story of Jesus walking on troubled waters, even though it seems a strange matchup at first. Imagine the scene we hear of in the gospel. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. Quite a dinner party. And he wants some time alone to pray and to rest and to gather himself. Who wouldn't after that big a party? So he sends the disciples on ahead of them in a boat to cross the sea to the other side. And while they're out in the boat, in the middle of the sea, a great storm comes up. And it looks like the boat will be swamped and that they will drown. To say that they're afraid is an understatement. Jesus sees them and knows their fear, so he comes down from the mountain and goes to them. He walks to them across the water. He doesn't swim. He walks on the water, on top of the water. The disciples see him, but in the midst of the spray and the waves and their own seasickness, they don't recognize him. He calls out to them, and they think they recognize his voice, but they also think that their eyes may be playing tricks on them. Who could walk on water? Perhaps it is a ghost. Perhaps not. So Peter calls out, "Lord, if it's you, call me to come to you on the water." Now that's a big ask, because Peter, like many fishermen, cannot swim. He's asking for a lot. It's not merely a test of Jesus' voice, it's a test of Jesus' power. But Jesus cooperates. He says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat, and after his first step, he realizes what he's doing. He freaks out, and he promptly goes under the heaving waves, crying to Jesus to save him. Jesus reaches down and hauls him into the boat and gets into the boat himself, and the storm immediately stops. Jesus chides Peter, saying that his lack of faith was what caused him to sink. And all the disciples, not surprisingly, say, "We believe, Lord." On the face of it, these stories from the Gospel and the Hebrew Bible don't have much to do with each other. But if you look below the surface, you'll note some interesting things. In both stories, people are far away from home, in a state of disorientation. The brothers of Joseph, distressed at their father's favor toward their brother Joseph, away from their father and their home, guarding the sheep. The disciples, exhausted after the feeding of the 5,000, away from their rabbi and away from dry land, and headed for the other side of the sea. In both stories, emotions run high: jealousy, fear, anger, doubt. In both stories, surprising things happen that derail what we thought was the pattern of the tale. A caravan of Ishmaelites passing through, just by happenstance. A sudden storm. A person walking on top of the water. In both stories, the recognition that what God wants is at variance with what human beings expect to do. So Joseph does not die. His story continues. The disciples do not drown. Jesus reveals his power in a surprising way to save them. Their story continues. It's good to remember these two oddly linked stories when we're in the midst of our own storms, when our emotions overwhelm us, when we're angry, afraid, despairing, jealous. Our stories continue because God is a part of them. Our stories continue because God sends some Ishmaelites to interrupt a planned fratricide. Our stories continue because God walks out onto the water in contravention of all we know about the science of water. Our stories continue because God wants us to continue God's story. We are bearers of the word. We carry God's story forward in how we live our lives. We walk as the shepherding brothers of Joseph walked. We walk as the Ishmaelites walked toward Egypt. We walk as Jesus walked, to say that it is possible that water can be walked upon, that people who want to kill each other can learn a better way, that a slave in Egypt can become Pharaoh's right-hand man and reconcile with his family. We walk by faith because Jesus walked, to be the way, that the world might know God's will. We walk this way, and we pray that others might walk with us against the old ways, the ways of death and hurt and distrust and war. We walk toward the new. Amen.